Okay, hey now. This is the Bachelor PhD podcast. You thought I was going to say Bachelor Masters podcast, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
But I didn't. I got our new name right. We're a podcast that talks about the various things that a PhD might talk about.
I don't like that you're thinking of it as more of a shtick now that you decided that it's a... Okay, Craig.
Yes.
I felt the uncanniness again with the Journey Diner dance.
Oh, my Lord.
Did you feel the, like, it's a shadow crew of The Bachelor?
Yeah, Central Casting really got a good paycheck on that one, huh?
See, Central, no, see, you don't know how you hire a union. That's your issue there. You don't get crew from Central Casting, Craig. Maybe they were busy with Bachelor in Paradise. And so all the production assistants got bumped up, but it doesn't quite feel like The Bachelor. It feels staged, as it always does, but it feels super staged, right? Mm-hmm. It feels like a David Lynch moment. Like there was a dead body behind that trash can, behind the diner.
What was the name of that place? It was Cadillac Zack's.
Oh, you know what? I feel like it's a set.
I think it is because I Googled it when I was watching it, and then I'm Googling it right now, and I can't bring up anything.
No, why didn't they take them to Mel's? Why didn't they go to Bob's Big Boy?
You're right. Yes. In Studio City, yeah.
Where David Lynch would sit every day, right?
Really? At Bob's Big Boy?
Yeah, the one in Toluca Lake? That one, yeah. Uh-huh.
Really?
Yes, it's a very famous story he tells.
Huh. And why doesn't he sit there anymore?
He's rich and famous. I don't know.
Oh, this was before he was rich and famous.
Yeah.
So I think it was a set, too. It was too well lit. If co-host Chris were here, our co-host from back in the day, he would say it was too well lit to be a regular restaurant.
Oh, that it was so, it was not, those were all actors, all of them.
Yeah.
That's Central Casting right there. Like, do you have a 50s look? Have you been a waiter?
Yeah.
You know, that was not a milkshake. It was just all chocolate on the bottom. No, that person did not know how to make a milkshake. They didn't have a full kitchen.
Well, they
right?
probably ordered the milkshake in because they don't have like a milkshake maker sitting
That's exactly what I'm saying is that it was a dead body behind the trash can. Yeah. And then they had enough space in front. Nope, none of it made sense. So what is your favorite David Lynch moment?
Oh, no. Are we?
Go ahead.
Play the drop.
The David Lynch Minute on Bachelor Masters.
You're asking what my favorite David Lynch movie is or moment? Or
moment
what?
Within a movie. It doesn't have to be your favorite movie.
I don't like David Lynch. You guys know that.
Yes, that knowing
over
that.
I've been over this a million times.
Yes, I am not questioning.
But I do like Dune, which he goes on.
Of all the movies.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like Dune. Why?
I don't know. I just like the absurdity of the whole thing and how over the top it is. And there's a lot of really great scenes.
Oh my goodness.
Like the arc, what's his name? Like the Baron Arkman or whatever his name is. And he like flies around and spews out crud out of his warts and murders kids that have heart pumps and all this kind of crazy shit.
Yeah. So you do like it. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Well, you know me. I can't stand a desert movie. Back to the Future 3, Tremors.
Dude. Desert movie?
Like a movie with a lot of sand. Even even the Doors movie kind of gets to me sometimes. It
right,
because
they trip acid out in the desert. Yes.
Yeah. But he's not in this desert. He is like in the Sahara Desert. Like they are just kicking Sex in the City 2. I have a lot of like... I can't watch a movie like that. It gives me a sensation. But I have seen Dune.
All right, that makes no sense, but back to Dune.
I have idiosyncrasies.
No kidding.
It's so funny. I had to read this thing once where they asked me to pronounce that word wrong, and now I can never pronounce it correctly.
Idiosyncrasies? That's
yes.
Funny. You have an idiosyncrasy around idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, exactly. Now I think of it a million different ways because I'm like, which one was right after all that? Anyway.
All right. What's your favorite David Lynch movie or moment in a movie?
Well, I wasn't even thinking about that. I guess, you know, I feel like I had an answer before. I don't know.
You're going to say, oh, I really like Mulholland Drive. Ooh. I'm a sophisticated coastal elite that likes David Lynch movies.
How does that? He has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah,
I know. In terms of coastal eliteness, I'm saying, I think Eraserhead
which is made by a student with David Lynch and is a student film, essentially.
It's his student film. Yeah. But I mean, you know, when you bring home a baby, that is totally true. Everything he said. So,
Oh my God, this is a horrible David Lynch minute.
I've never related more to there was a few things that I was like, oh, this is what he's talking about in Eraserhead when I had my baby at home. Okay, we're moving on. But
it all makes sense now.
What? What does?
David Lynch movies.
They all make sense.
Bringing
to me
the baby home for the first time, it makes sense.
Yes. I'm glad it makes sense to you now. Okay. Not my
point,
though.
The one movie that does make sense is Dune, which he took his name off of.
Well, it's based on a book.
Yeah, of course.
Frank Herbert. But yeah, I'm saying.
I know that.
What? He's not a adapter, you know? He's not meant to be one.
Apparently.
Okay. My point there was that it might be minor, but I do feel like this show, either they're not putting in the uncanniness to me is them not putting in the effort, not putting in the budget, not putting in the skill set that we're used to. And the fact that it's an hour, it might be a shorter season. Like, there's all this buildup about the Golden Bachelor, but when it comes to give us the meat, right, the real show, are they putting in the effort we require?
Interesting take, because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, it's just the same stuff we always get. They haven't changed it up at all. We still got the Franco DeCosta, whatever his name is, photo date.
We have to save that for Caitlin, by the way.
Yeah, she's a big fan. You know, we just got the same old stuff.
Yeah, but they're phoning it in. And at some level, we want phoning in because we want a comfort show.
Yeah.
But at another level, you know, as you were saying with Zach's season, you know, the boring energy, the boring bachelor energy thing. It was so refreshing of them to do this. And then when it came time to deliver, are they delivering?
Yeah. Are they delivering? That's a big question. I don't know.
But
if
so
they
far
are.
For you, no.
Well, let me see. This episode, I sort of had the same kind of reaction as last week, which is like ho hum. But at the same time, like Teresa's starting to become more of a central character. You know, is Faith going to be cut? Ooh. You know, there's a couple things that caught my attention.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that might have caught your attention, unless you haven't made your point yet.
No, go ahead.
This has to be the thing that caught your attention, because I imagine you being so cruel about this scene.
He's got a mansion full of beautiful women, and he has taken the time to have a picture framed of my relationship with him so far that made him happy. I am feeling so special. And honestly,
Craig,
I haven't felt special in a very long time.
I bet you haven't.
Make me feel special at this stage in my life is possibly the man that I want to love. And I hope he feels the same.
Craig, you're so cruel.
Oh,
the
man.
Poor old lady. I don't even know her name. I don't know.
I feel special.
Why did he pick a picture of her? I've never, you know, there. I know he likes all these women, but, you know, there was nothing. I've never seen her before in some kind of context. Right. I don't know. I just picked it up.
What's her name?
No, I don't know. I mean, I guess I should have looked, but
yeah,
I'm kind of.
So we just played a clip from somebody we don't know.
I was excited, and then I just keep checking out because it's not exactly the juxtaposition to The Bachelor in Paradise, but it isn't, like, to what end, you know, is this for? And I'm not even like a, you know, I'm not a big believer in the love story, but I am kind of like meandering around at this point because I think, as I told you last week, what's next for these, you know, we're going to have a lot of, I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
Well, the thing that bugs me, and I think this is in line with what you're thinking, I don't know. The thing that bugs me is that these are supposed to be older, sophisticated, I know I use that word already, like older, mature women, I guess mature. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say mature because that's...
You're saying that they're supposed to be wiser. Advanced emotionally. Yeah.
Wiser. Emotionally and intellectually advanced.
Yes.
Right? We're supposed to respect our elders because they are more...
They can rein in their emotions better.
Well, they're supposed to be smarter and wiser and more emotionally intelligent, right? But they're not. They're just women desperate for attention. That's all I'm getting from this.
It's so weird.
Oh, there's 13. What is it? 13 or 14? There's 14 women. They're all exactly the same, and they all just want a 5 minutes of attention from this guy. How is that any wiser or more emotionally intelligent?
Well, have you, I mean, growing up, you know, we're of a certain age where it was kind of the first generation of everyone divorcing, right?
Yes, yes. Generation X, Generation Y.
Yeah. Well, I'm officially a millennial, but I would identify more with X, I
guess. I'm Y, like, yo. Generation Y.
I think you're X.
No, I'm Y. My brother's X.
Yeah. Oh, okay, fine. but either way, you know, growing up with a bunch of kids whose moms were single.
Yeah. Okay, what movie is this from? We're a generation of men raised by women.
I don't know, Craig. I'm not a movie.
It's from Fight Club.
Ugh. No. You know.
What? What did I do?
I have a lot to say about
Fight Club?
I just read not necessarily about Fight. I just read another one of his idiotic novels, and he seriously references himself in his own novels, and it's written like Turner Diaries. Anyways, look, it is wild. It's called. It's not worth talking about, but the man has been brewing with horribleness for 20 years. Movie God.
Wait, hold on. Uh-huh. Who are you talking about?
Chuck Palahniuk.
Okay. And why did you read one of his novels if you don't
because
like
it was a dare. Me and my friend dared each other to...
You dared each other?
Yeah, it's a long story, but the point
it must
is...
Be. I dare you to read another book by the author of Fight Club.
Yeah. You're looking...
Hey, there's Caitlin.
Yeah, there's Caitlin.
I'm here, and I love that. I was like, wow, people say reading is dying, but people are doing it on dares now, so you never know.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Reading's not dead. Reading is alive and well, and we're doing it on dares. All right. Okay,
all right.
We're saying, Caitlin, that the women are supposed to be wiser and emotionally intelligent because they're old, but they're not. They're just the same as a 20-something-year-old women. That's my take, at least.
And
EZR is trying to compare it to... I don't know what she's trying to compare it to. I brought up Fight Club. I blame myself on that one.
Yeah, this is all your fault.
No, you're saying that we're a generation that was raised by women because our parents were divorced.
Well,
that's what Fight Club says.
Well, my parents were not divorced, but I was the only kid in my like friends group who did not have divorced parents.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so all I saw from my friends' moms was them trying to get another husband. So since I was a little kid, all I've seen is this kind of person.
Right.
Huh.
interesting because I like my parents have been divorced since I was 15. My mom has not seriously dated like pretty much anyone in that time. She has gone on dates, but she has also like now just been like, I'm not actively looking. But even like my mom's parents were divorced and grandma never married again and like never dated as far as I could tell. And my dad's parents, his dad died when my parents were like in their 20s. And that grandma also never got married again or okay. dated.
It's too soon for you to be throwing a wrench into our arguments here, Caitlin. We're not ready for this yet.
Well, so I am used to a lot of older women who yes. are single and simply by choice are never looking again.
Yeah. Well, we yeah. think it's by choice, though. You assume.
I think so. I mean, with some of them, I know, like, my maternal grandmother, we asked her once because she did get proposed to by an extremely wealthy man.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't dating him at the time. Basically, it's, like, such a weird story, but the short version is my rich Uncle Billy had, like, a, I guess you'd call it almost like a patron, like, because, like, that side of the family grew up fairly poor, and then Uncle Billy, who then later became rich, was like a landscaper for some wealthy man. And this wealthy man was like, I don't have any children. You are now kind of my son, and like paid for him to go to college and stuff.
Cool.
And that guy, we called him Uncle Ted. Uncle Ted wanted to marry my grandmother because he was basically like, I just want to have like a family. What if I just marry into the family I already know and like?
Yeah.
And my grandma was like, no, thanks. And I was like, Grandma, you should have said yes, because like my college would have been paid for.
Yeah.
If you had married Uncle Ted.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to look out for your family.
Exactly. And she said, no, you know, I've been married once. I don't need to do it again. And and so I'm just like, huh, she was offered a unique situation that was basically like, it probably could have been a completely platonic marriage.
He
wanted like to have kids and he didn't have any.
I feel like there's a movie about that where I can't bring it up.
I'm reading a book right now that's like that in the first
was okay, so easier yeah, back
that
to
like
you.
Kind of happened in my family, which is weird.
Yeah,
my point is
yes.
that there is I'm used to seeing positing a theory here. I'm used to seeing adults who are more unhinged emotionally than I.
I love it.
Craig loves it. Craig eats this up for yeah. breakfast. Oh, he
that's
loves
why
it.
I go to airports and just hang out so I can watch unhinged people.
Oh, yeah, I know. IKEA is a great place for that too. Like, there's a few great IKEA. Hangouts. Yeah, a lot of things happen in the weirdest spots. But yeah, airports are hilarious too. You see all these like, you know, seeds of a fight and where's, yeah. you know, where that string leading you. But anyway, I've honestly thought adults be incredibly unhinged all the time if this is my sample set here. Anyway, Caitlin, we saved you Franco.
Yes. Wait, I still don't think you've made your point, though, AGR. Hold on.
That's my only point, is that I never have not seen this. So this is not some foreign...
You're saying that you never came into the Golden Bachelor thinking that these people should be wiser and more emotionally intelligent.
I came into this thinking that these must be the most... how can you still have this mindset at this age?
I did think they would be a little... Well, I do think that Gary seems to be pretty emotionally intelligent.
Yeah, he's the exception, and I will give you that. Is that
yeah,
even in my
he seems like in
bleak...
touch with his feelings, pretty mature, etc. Like, and I think some of the women are, and some aren't. It's like a mixed bag of people who seem very like they've grown, and people who are still in the same place that they were a while ago. Like, I left really hard at April during the backyard cookout when they were like roasting hot dogs on the grill or whatever, and what's her name, I think Kathy, was like, have you ever done any outside cooking, which I assume means grilling, I guess.
Yeah.
And April said, no, I've never done that, I'm here to like decorate the life of a man and fill it with love. And I was like, that's a very funny thing to say. It's like, no, I don't provide utility.
It's such right. a, yeah, she's obviously been told her whole life, you should know how to cook, at least for yourself. She's like, F that. Never. It's like, why? Just learn. It's not sexist till everyone needs to learn. Every single human.
Yeah, you need to like know at least a couple of basics to like, nobody has to be, you know, if you don't enjoy it, you don't have to like be an expert. But you should know how to make at least a few basic things so you can make them for yourself, if nothing else.
But she was completely defensive about it. Like, very defensive. Yes, unnecessarily.
Which is very funny to me that like, the way she phrased it was like, no, I don't bring that. I bring a lifetime of decoration and love. And it was like, okay, sure.
Yeah, a lifetime.
Well, we're about
another
to...
immature moment happens on the La Costa photo shoot, actually. I thought this was going to turn into something bigger because of the screen time they gave it. But Leslie being upset that Natasha got the 70s hippie costume she wanted.
It was a 60s hippie costume.
60s. Okay.
No. I'm not correcting you. I'm correcting Sexy Dancer, who kept saying, that was my 70s outfit. And it was like, clearly 60s? Like, have you never walked into a costume store before? And it was like, these people should know better than I. Then, like,
right, because they're older and wiser.
No,
because
yeah,
they lived through some of those years.
They lived through some of those years.
I mean, they're maybe 10, but still, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was a really interesting, because they gave her like several airtime moments where she was like, but I'm actually a hippie. This should have been my costume. I thought it was going to be like they literally got into an actual fight over it.
Well, that's the thing is, that's what Craig is talking about, is that that's the emotional maturity, is her being upset and not showing it in any way. That's not necessarily emotional maturity.
Not but show it. She did show it to a certain extent. Like, there was a conversation with the other women where they talk about, like, oh, isn't it fun? These, like, hippie costumes. She was like, I'm actually a hippie, though.
Yeah, it was really weird that she seems, like, so biker-y. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, the biker thing did not seem off to me. But, yeah, I do think it was interesting that I was, like, I saw some moments of immaturity in the sense that it doesn't actually matter which costume you wear at all, right? And you would think somebody who is, Leslie's like, what, 60, 61, somewhere around that, who is 60 would know that ultimately it doesn't matter what you wear. Because, in fact, the only thing that matters on this date is, like, having fun with Gary. So he doesn't care if you're in a hippie costume or a biker outfit.
No, well...
You would think somebody who's older would probably get that, like, yeah, I wanted to wear this thing, but, like, who cares? I'll have fun with this other thing and make a connection anyway. But yeah, I think it's really a mixed thing, because I also found it incredibly adorable when later Leslie flirted with Gary over them both having hearing aids. I thought that was so cute.
Well, you can imagine Sexy Dancer having I'm not going to call her anything else. Definitely having hearing aids for all the, you know, groupie times.
Yeah,
she's
of like
had.
The loud concerts she's been to, probably, that, like, you know, she has tinnitus or whatever going on in there. But yeah, I did think it was really cute the way it was just like, I'm really going to connect with Gary. We're going to do some flirting here. Let me push my hair aside. You can see I have hearing aids.
Yeah. I could use some hearing aids. Yeesh. No, just kidding. Okay. So can we talk about Gary?
Go ahead. And then we can move on to Bachelor in Paradise, because there is a lot there.
So, oh, Caitlin, before you came on, we came to the conclusion that this Cadillac Sam's, or whatever it was called, the restaurant they went to, the 50s restaurant.
Oh, the diner?
The diner was fake. The whole thing was a set. Because it doesn't come up on Google in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, honestly, because obviously every employee was also, like, an actor/dancer there.
Yeah, exactly.
And not just like dance, like they literally were going to break out into dance. So also because they ordered. So Gary's like, oh, I love diners. And I was like, feel you. I also love a diner. And then they only ordered a singular shake and a singular side of fries to share.
Something,
and I was like,
they'd already Uber Eats.
Yes. It was like, maybe this isn't a real restaurant, because I feel like if you're going to a diner, like a milkshake would be on my list for sure, but I would probably get like a burger or like a grilled cheese or something else to supplement the fries, especially if you're splitting the whole thing amongst
two of you. So maybe if you go to the Universal backlot, you'll see this restaurant. And the food's probably from like the Universal tour or something like that. Anyway, let's talk about Gary. Is Gary too much though? He's like, oh, when you touched my arm, it made me feel so relaxed.
Craig, what? No. Stop making fun of his voice to begin with. Yes, he has a silly voice, but it's obviously his regular natural voice.
Craig is going to get it back so hard when he gets older. No. He's going to have some old man voice.
Do you have a clip with Gary talking?
No, I actually thought about it, but then I was like, it's going to give ammo to Craig and his weird making fun of it.
Because he's got to do the impression of Gary's voice every episode. And I'm like, yes, it does sound silly, but that's just his voice.
Okay, but like, beyond the voice, isn't he laying on a little thick?
I believe that this is him. Like, I think he's just a sweetie guy who is like, he was stressed driving that car. And you can tell that they were not having a good time because she's all thinking like, oh, this date is starting really badly because he's just being like really silent. Yeah. As he drives to drive a car on, like, the highway for the first time without headlights on, and he's probably got really bad night vision at his age. So like,
I mean, the headlights worked later, so I don't know what was up with the headlights.
I don't know what was going on with it, but it was clearly stressful for
The battery was definitely draining, or the car was draining the battery.
So they probably just, like, they jumped it.
My ex
got back in it later.
My ex-body shop knowledge, not an ex-boyfriend. I used to work in a body shop. But it's definitely a draining. It's definitely the old car.
Hey.
They check these cars.
You know what show took place in a body shop?
No.
Brotherly Love. Starring Joey Lawrence, Matthew Lawrence, Andy Lawrence.
You would not have it in this enclosed space. That garage that they have fits like one car. with no like windows or anything. I mean, you need like an open area. You can't do that. You would kill yourself. Look, they need to check the old cars they give them. They always give them some like, whoa, look at this thing. And then they just let them loose and they need to check them.
Well,
they're making these old people like night drive and sleep in bunk beds.
Now, hold
get
on.
Up on a bunk bed.
I don't like cars, you know that. And I refuse to allow a car talk on this podcast, but the light's not going on. It seems like a legitimate problem that might happen.
Yeah.
And you're saying like, well, they can't allow that to happen. It's like, well, sometimes there's things that happen that you can't plan for.
Oh yeah. But they could have stopped shooting, fixed the car and then got them back on the highway.
They need to figure something out. They almost killed him. Like they almost killed both of
them. Like how badly that could have gone. Like when I was watching it, I literally was thinking of Clueless when Cher drives on the freeway for the first time. I think it's Cher. No, it's Dion. Dion's driving.
I didn't know what you were talking. I had a flashback to every single time I've gotten in a classic car with many friends and something went wrong. Our hood flipped up. Couldn't see out. My friend's other friend, her car started just blowing smoke, and then people were yelling at us, and she put her head out the window and said, shut up. It was hilarious. We all lived, but still, it's scary out there. You can't do that. It's scary.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't know the roads.
Well, I'll admit that it was weird when he was like, well, we're almost there, so let's just keep going. It's like, that's a man driving right there.
But yeah, to your point, I think the thing where he said that he was, you know, he was like touched, that Teresa touched his arm as like a comforting thing to be like, it's okay. I think he's just like a big sweetie guy who's what he's like.
His love language is physical touch, Craig. Just accept it.
Yes. I think he likes physical touch. He likes words of affirmation kind of stuff. And he was stressed.
The opposite of me.
Uh-huh. And the woman he's on a date with, you know, like, touched his arm and was like, it'll be okay. And I think he legitimately felt a little bit of comfort.
He didn't seem very comforting about her hair getting all blown out of shape in the convertible.
Yeah, but like, men don't understand that.
I would have.
Yes, okay. You're special, Craig, but most men don't get that, like, if you're gonna drive a convertible, like, your long hair will get blown all out of place unless you either put it up or like put on a headscarf or something.
Right. Yeah, she should have put on a headscarf. All right.
Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes. Don't you have to play something?
Monday, I'm in love.
Oh, he's doing Gary's voice.
Tuesday, Wednesday, love you. Wednesday, I know about you. No. And Friday, I'm in love.
I love that.
Oh,
that
my
is
gosh.
My best singing I've ever done.
So you like Gary's voice?
Yeah, this is like this is your singing voice should be in Gary's voice.
Yeah, get Gary to sing it too. Okay, look, I Bachelor in Paradise needs to be an hour as well. I mean, it's tough to go from 1 hour where everything is nice and nicely paced to 2 hours where we're like,
spending
so much time on Hannah Brown and like how she's the.
It's hard to like
Taylor Swift of Bachelor Nation. It just kept going on and on and on.
I was really confused by
that. Well, EZR has told me that I'm too negative. I sigh too much. But I can't not sigh when half the episode is Hannah Brown and how she's the Taylor Swift of Bachelor Nation.
Craig, the feedback I've gotten from some of our fans is that they wonder if you even enjoy watching these shows because you always sound so, like, depressed about them.
Well, it's depressing sometimes. I mean, come on, Hannah Brown?
All right, I personally enjoy Hannah Brown, but I was confused by how basically, like, a half an hour of screen time or more was both setting us up to be like, is she dating?
Right.
When people who follow social media know that she definitely wasn't, because she's like engaged to some guy she's been with for a few years now. So like, she definitely was not dating on the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't follow her on social media, but I knew that. And I thought, well, maybe she broke up with him and this is the big bombshell revelation.
The rebound is I go immediately on Paradise and just make out with everyone.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was weird. So they spent a whole time trying to trick us into thinking she'd be dating, but she's not dating.
Right.
And then the rest of it was like the bonfire truth telling thing. This made me think, because you know how later on we're going to have somebody is getting married on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is it Hannah Brown? And that's why they're introducing her now?
No, I think it's going to be Mari and
and Kenny.
Yeah.
Okay. This because I was trying to figure out like which couple is both engaged and not already married, who would be getting married on the beach. And Jocelyn told me she does not think it would be Hannah Brown at all because they're going to have like a much bigger, fancier wedding.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's play. Well, does Craig not like this or does he like it?
Okay. Wait, we're not.
Yeah, this game is easy because you don't like anything.
Well, we're not done with
it. We just spent 5 minutes talking about how bad this bit is. I'm allowed to not like it. I'm allowed on a podcast where we critique the show. I'm allowed to say, I don't like that.
Okay, wait a minute, Craig. Can I ask you if you liked this moment? Hannah, I loved how Blake, you know, if we're to believe that we don't know that they know that Hannah is not available, it looked like Blake was not going to turn down another bachelorette, right? What about you?
Me personally, I've pretty much just been vibing with Jess since I've been here.
Okay.
But I mean, it's also been 24 hours, so there's still a lot to know about her.
So you're open?
Open. Definitely open.
Okay.
Definitely open. Don't. I love that.
He would say yes to a date with her, absolutely.
Wants another bachelorette on his little notch.
Rachel's right there. If he wants to collect another bachelorette, he could have tried to scoop up Rachel, right?
I think he's got little. Okay, so how about this? I'm not sure. Again, they make the contestants hype up anyone that comes down, but this seemed pretty authentic. Like they are honestly starstruck by Hannah Brown.
But I'm just like, it's an honor. It's an honor to give him to you. It's an honor that you think that he's great, because I think he's great too. So you know what? It's okay. You can have a...
Kat's like, take Brayden from me. That's totally fine. I like you that much. So weird.
Well, where do people getting this? I mean, I understand that she was the Bachelorette. That's great. And I understand she has a social media thing going mm-hmm. on. That's great.
She was also the Bachelorette back when it was still like incredibly popular and people got a lot of followers from being on the show.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm not doubting, you know, like Hannah G is like super famous and, you know, there's others that are like, you know, like Andy Dorfman. They're all, you know, I get it. They've all gone on and done well. But like this gushing of this outpouring of emotion towards her it just seems like we haven't seen it at this level before. And it seems strange.
I mean, Craig, okay. Does it mean anything to you and me? Because we were podcasting at that time.
Yes.
And at that time, we weren't taking as big a scope because we were really in it, right? We were talking earlier about production values and giving it their all. Those seasons, they really gave it their all in terms of manipulation, in terms of, you know, working out things and keeping things from us and the Jed thing and the, you know, that there was a big ball of checklist stuff that the Bachelor looks for. And Hannah Brown's season did all those things, right? Jed lied. She was fooled. There was a group of men. It was like the new generation of like Instagram people.
What's his face's name?
Tyler Cameron? Who?
No, the Christian guy.
Oh, Luke. Yes. Yeah. Yes, they had a religious zealot. They had, I mean, she came from Kaylin, the other beauty queen, and them being like, I mean, there was a lot there in terms of their checklist. And so her season really enveloped like everything they want, right? We wish every season was like that. But it just so happens, Caitlin, that we were podcasting. So to us, we found a lot in there. The reason I say that is because it felt to us like, wow. I mean, at the time, I guess looking back, maybe 2020, I feel like, wow, we really hit a lot of points that season. Nothing's really felt like that since. But that's how everyone seems to feel, right? It just so happens
with
podcasting.
I do think it is a kind of high watermark of recent seasons, if that makes sense. Like, this mm-hmm. was only, I started watching with Colton season. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, so you got the beginning of that whole thing.
I got the beginning of it, and she was my first Bachelorette season that
just
I watched, like live, normally.
Give her your boyfriend.
I love it. And I really enjoyed her season. Like, I was rooting for her. I feel like the season was really well done in terms of making you like her and be engaged with sort of like her feelings.
Yes.
Yes. And she said, I had sex and Jesus still loves me. So we're
all on which
her
is
side.
Like a great, great TV moment, right? Like, she had so many good TV moments in her season. The like, I had sex and Jesus still loves me, when she moved the platform around Luke P at the rose ceremony, like TV classic moments, you know?
Yeah.
And by the way, I still think she was wrong for all those things that she did, but she still comes off as likable.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I think she's very charismatic as a person in a way that you would assume all of the leads of the show would be incredibly charismatic, but they don't actually all come across that way.
Okay. So, Craig, I think they're trying to capture that magic back, but how can you? You cannot, you know? It makes sense what they're trying to do.
I don't know. I think some of those reactions to Hannah Brown were legit.
Yes.
Like, that's what I'm, what's her name? Jess. Jess was like, oh my God, it's the Taylor Swift of Bachelor Nation. What's she doing here? Kat going nuts. I mean, come on.
But you're upset that they genuinely react that way.
I'm not, I think upset's too strong of a word.
Okay.
I'm
you
just confused.
Scoffing or. You're incredulous?
No, I'm confused.
Well, confused, but honestly, with a tinge of that seems stupid to you.
Yeah.
That they're reacting that way.
It does. I mean, come on. Jess Kat, they're beautiful women. They got their own things going on. Why do they need to be gushing over Hannah Brown?
Because she is, it takes more than beauty on this show, as we know.
Hmm. Yes, because they're all beautiful. Like,
right.
That's a requirement to be cast in any case, right? So, like, right. Everyone's going to be hot. Instead, I think that they...
Including Brayden.
I think that Brayden is an attractive person.
I know.
He's just also ridiculous. But yeah, I think what they probably see
his rubber
in Hannah...
Duckies.
Yeah, oh my God, his rubber ducky earrings are so bad. Hannah has achieved a level of success that is now increasingly rare, right? Plus, she was a lead. The women gushing over her have never been selected to be a lead, okay. So I feel like there's a level of, like, idolization happening.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I lost.
We're getting off track here. But
no.
Complete your point, EZR.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that they are, never mind. I lost it.
I was just going to say, we're off the point here. The original point was, we just spent all this time talking about how much we don't like the scene, and yet I'm not allowed to say I don't like something. Oh,
no,
Craig's too negative. Craig sighs a lot. Craig doesn't like the show that we're watching. Well, let me tell you what. I watch the show. I do a podcast about it. That's a lot of work. So obviously I'm putting in a lot of work on this.
Are you upset about something
Yeah,
else?
Are you offended?
Sounds like you're talking to someone specifically.
Sorry, I'm coughing. Ah, I just snorted. Okay. Let's continue.
Okay. You look.
Craig, are you having a breakdown?
I know. I'm losing it. It's like 99 degrees in LA right now. I think
so
everyone's
hot.
Getting a little wonky.
Yeah, it's hot. Okay. Last thing. No. Not like I'm done with Hannah Brown. I have nothing.
Yes.
Like, it's just whatever, Craig. Like, she's I'm not sure I believe that they're all gushing like they are, but her season was, in terms of one episode after another of interesting things to talk about, that was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, move on, please.
Let's move on. Okay. I guess that just leads us to the big thing, the actual thing that happened, because for some reason that was the actual thing that happened to you. Aven comes down.
Whoopee.
Setting up this triangle.
Oh wait, hold on. Let me try this out here. Say that again. Okay. Say, Aven comes down.
Oh, you caught yourself being sarcastic.
No. I'm gonna show some true emotion here. Okay.
So you caught yourself being sarcastic. Aven comes down.
Yes. All right. Oh man, I was waiting for that.
Oh my God, boy.
When he came down, I thought to myself, this show can't get any
Craig
better.
Craig is everything. Craig, you got to have some tough skin if you want to be an influencer someday.
Yeah, Craig, you got to work on your influencing skills. Thing was sort of exciting. I was also a little bit surprised that they didn't show us any interaction between Aven and Rachel, and
yes!
I would have thought there'd be a convo there.
I rewinded it, and they just went, how are you?
Right.
Yeah. And you would have thought, given the last time we saw them on TV together, he was like, they were leaving together to go on a date or something, right? So you would have thought at least they would want a scene that basically says, like, we're just friends now. This is cool, or whatever.
Jesse has to address it, and then he's like, okay, but you are a fresh blank slate there, Aven. Don't worry, Rachel. You know, they didn't say much. Right?
Yeah. They just cleansed the palate.
Which seems like they're going to do
not
with all of, like,
canon
many of Rachel's
bachelor.
Exes will be on this show. And it seems like for all of them, they're just going to act like essentially they didn't know each other that well.
But he's the ex. He's the, like, why
he's
did he do that?
He's the biggest one that she broke up with. I mean,
the
unless
ex
they brought
that we expect to see. No. Well, the ex we expect to see. The ex that's clean.
The cleanest possible. It's like, yes, they clearly, like, had feelings, but
and
it should be
sex.
Okay now. They did. So it was pretty serious.
Right.
Yeah. If they brought Tino down, she should walk off, because that'd be horrible. Right.
Okay. So
that's a show.
Well, I don't disagree, Craig, but okay. So, it's the Avon walks down. Craig, don't react.
I'm not.
It's funny how Kaylee is insecure and giddy and excited, and I'm sure she's used to male attention, but she's acting like Avon is like not just any old guy. I mean, it felt to me like she gets her hopes up a lot and maybe don't quite get the payoff all the time. She is so excited to see him. And we don't have to listen to this whole clip, but I wonder about her sometimes because this seems too much for her kind of stature, even within The Bachelor, right? She is high up there, and she is excited about him like she's never seen a man before.
Right.
Oh, my God. This is exactly the moment I've been waiting for. Avon has arrived in paradise. Avon's my number one guy. It's like there's so much build up around us meeting. And I'm just so nervous because I've never met Avon before in my life. We've only known each other through media. There's been liking the pictures and a fire emoji. That's literally it. And now it's happening. Hi, I'm Kylie.
Nice to meet you. Good, how are you?
I mean, like, oh my God. That was our first ever moment together. Oh. I was literally having an out-of-body experience just now. With Avon, I've been hyping this up in my head from like the start.
This is so pretty.
I cut a few clips.
So if it's just like a big letdown, okay, that would be disappointing.
Oh, this is so romantic.
Is that champagne?
Please give me the confidence, the ability for my chest not to break out in hives all day, and just let it go well. Give me the words to say, and just let him want to just marry me right after. Amen.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was,
That escalated
I texted
quickly.
Jocelyn this, but I was like, I was feeling a little bit of secondhand embarrassment for Kylie here, because it was just so much for, I'm like, yeah, Avon's handsome, but like, again, everyone's handsome on this beach, right? Right. It seems like she had built up this narrative in her head for like, she's following him on social media, she thinks he's the greatest. He likes her thirst traps. He sends her that single fire emoji that really did it for her.
Yeah. And she now lives off of it for months.
Yes. And so, like, now in her head, it's like, this is the perfect man. We must get together. We will be married. And I'm like, girl, that is a lot of expectation off of very little interaction and very little knowledge of this other person. Like, I just don't feel like there's any way this is going to work out long term.
Well, I'm not. Maybe it will. I mean, the thing is, she's sought after enough to work out. But
yeah, I think she's a hot commodity on the beach.
Right. What is she like in a relationship?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, it's just very, the whole thing is sort of confusing to me. And I do feel like Avon could probably be swayed if somebody he liked more came onto the beach.
Okay, so here, like, my perspective on Kaylee is that, first off, that she is truly who she says she is. She is naive, and I don't think she understands herself very well, but she seems like the kind of person that needs a lot of friends' perspective, because she does not see herself, hear herself, see herself in a relationship. I'm sure she's been in bad relationships, really bad ones. And I feel it's because she doesn't have a lot of male energy in her life. So she doesn't quite, she has these expectations that are like, just the, you know, in fantasy land. And because she doesn't have friends on this beach yet, or maybe she does, I don't know, but she doesn't have best friends. She has an enemy, that's for sure. So I don't know if her, her ticker is, you know, pointed north right now. She's out of control. And I feel bad for her, because normally a woman like this, I would say she's so hot, she can figure it out. But I don't think she can figure it out. I feel bad for her. I'm scared something's going to happen to her. And I think she's naive.
Yeah, I do think she seems, for somebody who is incredibly sought after on this beach, who is physically extremely attractive, she doesn't seem incredibly aware that, like, she also has power in these situations, right? That, like, it seems like she's played it up as, like, Aven's perfect. I need Aven to choose me. Like, God, give me the words to say. And it was like, yeah, but you also need to be choosing him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think she's gotten to that level of, like, possibly experience in life to be like, just because somebody's super hot and seems perfect on paper does not mean you'll actually be a perfect fit together, and that you need to, like, be aware enough to be like, wait, okay, I like all these things about him, but I don't like these things, or like, actually our personalities don't mesh well at all.
In her defense, the two hot picks from a season, and I mean that, like, you know, they are pushed forward because of their sexual and their beauty and their, like, charisma, tend to do well together. You know, all these, like, Jade and Tanner kind of prototypes all do pretty well together. But Olivia hates Kylie because of a situation, not because of Kylie. And I want you guys to hear this.
I'm over here, like, inside, like, laughing because Will, like I said, Kylie was using him as a pawn until Aven came to the beach. Did I or did I not say that?
You weren't on her radar, and you are a placeholder until Aven comes.
I was correct, and look what happened. Kylie used him as a pawn. Aven is here. She is now fully invested into Aven. But I truly believe that will be karma for her.
So, again, I rarely give people on this show a pass, but I do think that Olivia thinks Kylie planned this, or she used him as a placeholder. I don't think she used him as a placeholder. I think she's naive enough to think that anything that's in front of her works out. And then when it doesn't, she's kind of like, huh? Like, she's not what she does. And I feel kind of bad for Kylie in that she makes enemies on accident because of her beauty. Like, that sucks, you know? Like, that's gotta suck.
Yeah, that pretty privilege thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree to a certain extent. I don't think she was being internally super calculating. Like, I doubt, based on what we've seen of Kylie on TV, that in her head she was thinking, I'll just date Will for now. No feelings involved. I'm just waiting for Aven. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that she was thinking that, but there is also an element of truth in what Olivia was saying. Like, she was always going to drop whoever she was with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but she doesn't know that. But she doesn't know that, right?
But yeah, she might not know herself enough.
Yeah, she needs friends. She needs perspective.
Yeah, and I think it's just a shame for, like, Will seems like a nice person, that he happened to be the one who she was with when Aven did walk down and was like, well, you're going to be auto dumped, because in her mind, Aven is the absolute perfect person.
Well, you know who's more desperate than the contestants on The Golden Bachelor? Mercedes and Will. Right, Craig?
I like Mercedes. There's something I like about her, and I can't put my finger on it. I also kind of like Will, but I felt a little sad watching that scene, because I am totally willing to believe that she thinks Will is cute and he's currently available, so why not? But the way that he reacted, being like, oh, let me immediately snuggle you. Like, we are together now. Oh, thank God I'm being chosen. It was like, buddy, you could have chosen any number of, like, these women. You actually had much more control here. You were just in a bad way emotionally.
Yeah, but don't women like that in a guy?
It makes him look so desperate, though.
Oh, really?
It made him look kind of like he was ready to give up or something, that he wouldn't have given his rose to a different woman unless somebody came up to him and was like, actually, I'm into you, you know?
He's like, thank you for giving me words of affirmation. Yes, and he just fell all over it.
Yeah, it was just kind of an interesting situation.
It definitely brought down his, you know, it made him look desperate. I don't know. It was kind of rough to watch. Craig, I thought you'd be all over that.
Plummeting his stock a little bit in the eyes of other.
Not all over it.
Okay. Well, I mean, that was kind of a sad scene. He was just crying, and that's how they got together. Yeah. Crying.
And I think it's like legitimate that he was having these feelings. It just is sad that he didn't know how to like pick himself up without somebody doing it for him.
Right. Crying. I'm guilty of that.
Okay, so yeah, I was gonna say, you're a man. Imagine some woman comes up to you and says, I'm interested in you. Sure, there's a bunch of weird stuff going on. I could be just here trying to
you've just been dumped. You to
keep me. Yeah, best been dumped by the woman of your dreams. I'm trying to stay on board here, and you seem to be the only man that would be interested in me, but you're cute. And then he just starts bawling at her feet like, thank you so much for acknowledging my existence.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, okay, so you've been that. I don't know.
I don't cry much.
What so I mean is more I like begging. Relate. It wasn't quite like crying, but it was the begging aspect.
Right. Yeah, he's begging somebody who's already like, hey, let's try this out.
Yes, exactly.
That's kind of what made it sadder to watch, is like it would have made much more sense and been less of a sad scene to me if Mercedes approaches and is like, hey, I thought you were cute this whole time. I didn't hit on you because you were involved with like these two other women and it just seemed too crowded over there. But now you're free. Like, you want to chat things out? You want to maybe be involved with me? And he was like, oh, I also think you're cute. Yeah, let's do this. But instead of just the way he sort of melted down about it is what made it sad to me.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So Brooklyn, Kat, and Greer. Oh my God, that name. Got cut, but only because producers like Olivia as kind of a storyteller, because Peter seems like producer's pawn. He is not
I thought that about Brooklyn. I thought that she kind of is what the producers might want to keep around.
Sure, but if she doesn't have a triangle or like any kind of invested interest, yeah, she didn't
like make any effort to hook up with a guy at all, as far as we know.
Yeah, it kind of looked like she was like, no one's expressing an interest in me, so I guess it's time to pack my bags and go. But she would normally be what I think they'd be interested in, because she's a person who has no problem like getting in fights with others. But yeah, I do agree that I think the producers went up to Peter and were like, hey, who are you thinking of choosing? And he's like, I've got all these options. And they're like, what about Olivia?
And he is the FBI. So he's already in a bad place.
He's the what?
FP, the ones who on the mental all of the last charity season, where they were all hashtagging FP on their photos, and it stood for FP, and he's the Pete.
I say that because I'm saying that, you know, he doesn't quite have a handle on how the show works. So being asked to keep someone around is probably something he's like, yeah, whatever you guys want. I'm not interested in any of these women. I want to be on TV finally. Yeah.
He had that really weird scene with Aaron S. where he was like, there's all these available women, but I think maybe I'm into Sam, so I'm going to pull Sam. And then like they have this convo and she's not interested. And Aaron S. hears that he used the word like immaturity, possibly referring to him. It's a weird area where I'm like, did he say that or did he imply it? I think he implied it, but he didn't say it. But then he like dances in the background of that conference. Like the whole thing was just odd.
Yeah.
It's weird that these men are interested in Sam.
Right. Well, he calls her mature, which in the group of words that I've been taught never to say to a woman, mature is probably one of them.
You know what I mean? Can say it if the woman's 17, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't be talking to a 17-year-old, you know what I mean?
But that trope of being like, when a man is dating a much younger woman, and it's like, she's really mature for her age.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like, and he kept saying it over and over. It just, it struck me as very strange things to say. Like, she seemed to not really mind it, which was odd too, but.
The whole thing was weird. Like, we don't even know that they did not tie it up for us or make it explicit to us. Like, we're not sure if Peter was asked to go there. They seem to be the same build and height. So you're kind of like, well, what? Are we supposed to believe Aaron's tougher than that guy? I don't think so. And they seem, honestly, they look alike and they dressed alike.
They seem interchangeable in most ways.
Kind of like, what is the point of this fight in terms of telling me something? Like, nothing.
It was absolutely nothing. It was really weird. Everything about it was odd.
And we know already that Aaron's a hothead. And we know already that Peter comes off as obnoxious to these men. So...
yeah, although I don't fully get... So Aaron S.'s point in his argument was not just that Peter may have implied that he himself was immature, and therefore mature Peter is a better match for mature Sam, but that the fact that Peter even tried to talk to Sam, he was upset about that. He was like, you see, we have a thing. And it was like, again, it's been like 2 days, so I don't feel like... And Pete and Aaron S. are not close at all from what we know. So in what way is it like part of bro code to not hit on this other guy's girl when they've been together for 1 second and you're not friends with them?
Mm-hmm. Well, what were you going to say about the dancing, Craig?
I didn't have anything to say about the dancing.
Oh, I thought you said, I'm going to bring some. I'm glad you brought this up because dance.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the mature talk saying. Oh, the mature talk. I mean, would you like it if I said, hey, Ezra, you're so mature.
Yeah, no, it comes off as condescending. I understand. Yeah. But he was maybe comparing it to the rest of the Brooklyn and Kat. And, you know, they're kind of woo girls, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
You know who are woo girls? It's the cast of Golden Bachelor. They're wooing up a storm in the...
Oh, they're totally that retirement party at Sizzler that you're like, oh, gosh.
You know, there's basically one Sizzler left in L.A.
No, there's a few, and I know, and I'm very attached to them.
Yeah, I would go to a Sizzler with you if you wanted to go sometime. Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yay, Sizzler buddies. I love
Do Sizzler. They still have the salad bar and all that?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I love
Sizzler. Well, there's one in Pasadena, in Koreatown. And there's one in down by the Culver City Mall.
Koreatown.
Koreatown has one? Okay. Uh-huh.
And one next to the Costco in Los Feliz. But why are...
Oh, that's a good one. We should do that one.
Okay, great.
That's close.
Yeah, then you could hit up the Costco afterwards.
Well, here's the thing about that Sizzler, is that it's right next to, Caitlin, this place called Tam O'Shanter's that Walt Disney based, like, all his fairy castles on. Well, he had a few influences around here, but that was one of them.
Yeah.
So that place is beautiful and gorgeous. And you're kind of like, why would I end up at the Sizzler when I can go to Tam O'Shanter's?
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Why would you end up at the Sizzler if you can go to the Tam O'Shanter's?
I don't know, Craig. I'm saying that. Sometimes I don't like
you just
that one.
you just really want salad bar meat. You know what I'm saying? Now, see, people in the Midwest, I'm sure, are screaming at us right now because buffets are big in the Midwest. They call I can't think of the names of them now, but they have chains
of buffets.
Well, yeah, no, Soup Plantation is only around here, I think.
No, I think it's gone. It's gone forever. But what are you trying to say? Are you trying to say a name of a brand? Or are you trying to say what they
I'm
call
trying
them?
To think of the name of the brand, but I can't think of them. But they're big out there. People what go, about, they like, pay like their $15 and they...
CC's Pizza, they have a buffet.
No. I'm just saying we don't know how to buffet here on
Golden
the West
Corral.
Coast.
Oh, yeah, Golden Corral. My sister had her rehearsal dinner at Golden Corral.
If anywhere makes me want to barf every time I see a sign of a buffet, it's Golden Corral. It is so disgusting.
The buffet was... not great, I have to say.
Oh, there's this like chocolate fountain that little kids like to stick their hand. It is so gross. I can't even think about it. It makes me want to barf.
Well, when you're young and hungover and it's like Sunday morning, a buffet can work wonders.
So wait, you're telling me, Craig, that there's one singular buffet in the Midwest that everyone loves? Like,
yeah. I'm trying to think of the name of it. I can't think of the name of it.
And it's not Golden Corral. Okay.
Hold on.
I thought that was such a... Okay, go ahead.
Let me try to Google something here.
Uh-huh. Go crazy. Why are we talking about buffets?
Because we're going to get screamed at for talking about Sizzler.
Oh. Sizzler's good. Sizzles. Sizzles is
Yeah, wait. Why would you get screamed at for talking about Sizzler.
Because they're going to be like, oh, you guys think you know how to buffet out there, you coastal elites.
Oh, my God. Craig is obsessed with himself and his stature.
Yeah, like, Craig, you're not really a coastal elite born and bred, so you're fine.
No, he is.
He's no, from... I thought, wait, no, you're right. I keep on thinking you're from the Midwest because you lived there.
No, I only lived there, yeah. I got a taste.
He is not only, he's like the inventor of coastal elites. He's from where they invented Google and stuff. Right, Craig?
All right, so Craig is the most coastal elite of any of us.
He's Silicon Valley, like it's when true. It was starting
it's
up.
It's true.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing with you.
I know. I'm telling Caitlin. I'm not talking to you.
In my head, I always think Craig's from, like, Iowa.
I know. I lived in Iowa for 8 years.
Oh, my God. Craig is the utmost, like, why? Why can't you just get your dad's
hometown buffet. That's it.
Hometown buffet is very famous.
Yeah, hometown buffet.
That is hard to remember because it seems so...
Yeah, because it's a very bland normal name.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been to that place. It is gross, too.
Yeah.
There's nothing...
Well, I wonder how many of them shut down... During the pandemic, because that's why Soup Plantation's not around anymore. It's because of the pandemic.
This is honestly making me hungry, even though some of these buffets are not good, and I know that.
Look up Tam O'Shanter's. Look up this cute bridge. Oh, and then there's these like Snow White apartments. I don't know. I'm not. I'm on a different track. You guys are talking about buffets. I'm talking about Walt Disney's inspiration. The bench that he sat on when he was watching the merry-go-round in Griffith Park is now at Disneyland. Mm. Anyway, that's where... Caitlin, anyone who's coming to LA, let me just say, if you love Disney, go to Tam O'Shanter's. Don't go to Disneyland. Go to Tam O'Shanter's.
Don't go to Disneyland, right.
Cute. Well, I'm not saying don't go to Disneyland. I'm saying go to Tam O'Shanter's first.
Right.
All right. Well, because as you know, I'm an East Coast New Yorker. I've never been to Disneyland. I've been to Disney World when I was a kid and enjoyed it as a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. His beef, which is very funny because his like wedding was at like a Disney theme.
Oh, my God. That is so expensive.
He's a Disney adult.
That's why
his beef is extra funny.
And he was wearing his the Guantanamo Bay like torture outfit he had on. So he's wearing his Guantanamo Bay torture as an attorney.
Didn't Ted Cruz have like a Disney themed reception too?
I don't know.
But, I think he might have.
But being a Disney adult and then getting married at Disneyland, that's expensive. So that might have been his wife's.
Maybe more his wife than him, but he definitely agreed to it.
I don't want to say, right, I don't want to say it was his wife because that seems kind of sexist because most Disney adults are women. But, yeah, he agreed to it. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm not sure.
I feel like you can't hate it if you agree to get married there. You know what I mean? Like, even if you're like, I don't care as much. If you were like, I despise this place, why would we get married here? So, yeah, I think he must have been fine with it. And now, you know, Disney's too liberal, so that's the whole thing. But yeah, I've been to Disney World twice and remember enjoying it, but I've never been to Disneyland because the only times I've been out to Southern California, I was like doing other stuff. So,
right.
Well, we don't have to talk about Disneyland, but as you guys know, I've been more times than I could ever, ever, ever count. And
ew.
Yeah, that's right. And I do it again, Craig. Don't coastal. First off, don't ew me.
What are you talking about? Coastal elites love Disneyland.
No, it's the opposite. It's the excess of the world. It's like, you know, it's a corporate takeovers. They just funded Anaheim City to not pay the workers of a hotel.
Right.
So, no, it's the opposite.
I'm listening.
It's the opposite.
But, all right.
For some reason, I'm listening in response to that really is tickling
weird.
Me.
It's exactly what you said it was. You said it's like condescending to say that. Okay, what are we talking about?
Are we done
with Bachelor in Paradise?
All right, so let's talk about that bonfire for a moment because that was a scene that was made to create drama.
Yes.
Presumably this is the main point that Hannah Brown was brought on to do is like stir some drama. But the drama was fairly mild. It seemed like the question she was asking could have been potentially very dramatic, but it also, again, is like within the first 3 days.
Yeah, so it's too early on.
It's too early. They should have brought her on in like a week or two for this when there were more heavily established couples that you could try to have an issue with. Yeah, exactly. Like try to stir some shit with, because now it's kind of like, okay, Kat said she's still open to meeting other people and Brayden said he wasn't. So they have a convo about that or whatever, you know, like that's something. But it's hard for him to even get mad at Kat because they've known each other for like 48 hours. So it's really hard to be like, you should be all in on me. I'm all in on you. And it's like, yeah, but we literally just met. We haven't even exchanged roses at this point, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it wasn't that exciting. It wasn't that good. I don't know. I was not. Meh. I wasn't invested because she, I don't give us a reason to. Hannah Brown said something like, I did not ask questions in my season. Therefore, I'm here to make sure everyone, everything's on the table. It's like, you're the worst at this. You're not good at this.
She didn't ask the key questions such as, do you currently have a girlfriend?
Yeah. They're rehashing all that. Oh, and by the way, Jesse says something in a very strange way.
The last time we saw you, I think you had just broken up with your fiance Jed, and maybe we're gonna give a second shot to Tyler Cameron. What happened after that?
Oh, Jesse.
He wasn't there for that.
No. Yeah. He was not there for
that. They are erasing Chris Harrison at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm
love it.
Living for it. Yes.
Yes, never mention his name on air again. Thank you.
I mean, that was a producer call, right? And they're trying to, because if you're just glossing over the show, you're kind of like, yeah, that is last time I saw her. You're not thinking, why is Jesse bringing this up when he wasn't there? So what's interesting there is that Chris Harrison is on his show actively trying to court these producers. He named them not long ago, all the new producers, because Mike Fleiss is out.
Right.
So
he is so thirsty to be back in the franchise, and they don't need him at all.
No, they just, you know, glossed over him, and he thinks he is the heart of the show, and that without him, it is struggling. So, wildly different perspectives. I know that's not what we're talking about, but I thought that was an interesting gloss. Instead of saying, Hannah Brown, the last time you were on the show, this is what happens. Right. He said it in a way that's like, remember when?
So, remember when I was on stage with you at After the Final Roast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Craig.
Although I guess if you're an ABC watcher, then the last time you saw her was when she was on Dancing with the Stars.
Which she won.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, she won Dancing with the Stars.
Well, it has nothing to do with dancing ability. It has to do with popularity.
It does, but she also is a pretty good dancer, because she was like, I think that's maybe what she did as her skill in pageants or something like that. So she was good.
Okay.
Right.
Well, anything else?
No. I mean, what's coming up next time is we're finally going to see the poop baby delivered.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wow. They keep on showing that clip, and I'm like, it makes me want to die, all of it.
Makes you want to die?
Yes, because Erin S. is like, it's our poop baby together. Let me help you get the poop baby out. And I'm like, this is gross. I don't want my significant other, like, helping me with my constipation.
Wow.
Is 9 days really that long? I feel like...
To go without... I think it's
like
up there.
I feel like 9 days is... Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's
especially
long, but it's
if,
not like reason to call the paramedics.
Eating regularly and just nothing is coming out. Yeah, I think then it starts to become a problem, because you've got like impaction in your colon or whatever.
Right.
And that could, I think it might be able to make your colon burst if like it's too full of poop, right?
Mm.
Thank God.
I wouldn't know.
He's like, well, I wouldn't know anything about that.
I was like, you know that they're very weird. Like, don't you think Sam and Erin have talked previously? Don't you think Avon, and you know, Avon and Kylie, I do give them like innocent credit, But the way they keep saying, the only way we've ever talked is through social media, a fire emoji. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Like, it seems like they doth protest. They are they not telling us something? It's weird that they're both saying, we've never met before. We've never met before. We've never met before.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to believe it because I think if you're a contestant going into this show now and you saw what happened with Brandon and Piper before, I think mm-hmm. you're going to be much more cautious about mm-hmm. the level of actual conversation you have with people who you might want to date on Paradise. I think they're much more like, well, sending each other fire emojis isn't real conversation, so that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's probably what I would think if I was one of them. Mm-hmm. With that Sam and Aaron thing is wild to me because it was like, we see so little of them in these first two episodes, but all of a sudden they're basically married. And like,
yeah. And they're not interesting people to me in any way, either of them. They're not fun or, you know, they're, even if they had some kind of huge triangle going on, which they kind of don't anyway, but they're trying to set that up. They probably made Peter go up to her.
Yeah, they tried to make some drama, but it was just weird because her whole thing was basically like, no, no thanks, I'm not interested in you. I'm only interested in Aaron S.
Right.
And yeah. It's like, okay, it's weird that you guys are so sold on each other after knowing each other for such a brief period of time with no, like, real bonding experience. They haven't gotten a date or anything that would give you more chance to, like, get to know each other better. So it's just weird. I'm like, this is odd how quickly they just, like, glommed together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Craig, any parting thoughts since you're so invested and now your new self is all completely yeah. all
it's
in
only
on the show?
Positivity from now on. This is a great show. It only does things that are positive for the culture and the society.
Craig, does it make you believe in love again?
Yeah. Why wouldn't it? Doesn't it for everyone? I just assume that this show is a reflection of our cultural values and that love can be found. Everyone deserves love, I think is their main point. And it's true. Everyone deserves love.
Wait, you're not very good at being sarcastic. So you're saying everyone does not or everyone does?
If you know me, if you've listened to this podcast at all, you know that I think not everyone deserves love.
Right, but like, okay, I know you think that, but it's weird that we're, man, my head, I'm pretty yeah. sick, but
it's like a poor Craig value.
Yeah, I know that it's not, but then again, I'm like, well, what do you think? I know that
it's an enigma. Let's leave it at that, all right? Uh-huh. We'll fill in the blanks yeah. all season long here on The Bachelor PhD.
Yeah, next few times, Craig will explain his theory of who does and doesn't deserve love.
Right, yeah. I mean, he's already come on. Life is complicated. It's also tough. Back to me. Yep. And if you don't stop to look around, you may miss it.
Mm-hmm. Don't stop believing.
Yeah, journey. Yeah. Okay, we'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye.